From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In just a moment, I want to talk to William Lane Craig, who's research professor of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology. A common mistake that Christians make derives from the notion that someone can be talked into the kingdom of God. The motivation might be sincere. The consequences, however, are often devastating. No matter how eloquent you may or may not be, you can't talk anyone into the kingdom. You can't change anyone else's heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. While it's your responsibility to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, it is God who changes the heart. The problem is not that people cannot believe. It is all too often that they will not believe. In other words, it is often not a matter of the mind, it's a matter of the will. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." The Christian faith is reasonable, but reason by itself will not compel anyone to embrace Christ. I'm utterly convinced that if we are prepared to give an answer, God will bring into our paths those whose hearts he has prepared. Thus, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to prepare ourselves to be the most effective tools in the hands of Almighty God. And one of the resources that will help you be an effective tool in the hands of Almighty God is a book titled On Guard, Defending Your Faith with Reason and Precision. Lee Strobel wrote the foreword to this book, and he says, in part, this book is so absolutely vital. In its pages, you'll learn the most compelling arguments in favor of Christianity. And not only that, but you'll also find out how to respond to the most popular objections to those arguments. You'll discover that On Guard is factual, personal, practical, and ultimately convincing in its presentation of the case for Christianity. Joining me now, the author of On Guard, William Lane Craig. Good to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you, Hank. Good to be with you.
Why is apologetics, from your perspective, so important?
Well, I think there's several reasons. One reason would be it's a means of creating a culture in which Christianity can still be heard as a viable option for thinking people. My wife and I lived for 13 years in Europe, and the prevailing culture in Europe is so deeply secular, so post-Christian, that to invite people to believe in Jesus Christ is like inviting them to believe in the tooth fairy. It seems that absurd to them. Part of the task of apologetics is to shape a cultural milieu or context here in the United States where the gospel can still be heard as a viable option for people. So that would be one reason. A second reason I think it's so important is because of the effects in the life of the believer himself. As Christians, we're called not just to be converts to Christ, but to be disciples, that is, learners of Christ. And part of learning to love God with all of our minds is being equipped to articulate what we believe and why we believe it. And when we go through times of doubt or spiritual dryness, this can be tremendously helpful in persevering in the Christian faith rather than just riding the emotional roller coaster. And then the third reason, I think, is that it's a vital tool in evangelism. We see people coming to Christ all the time through giving presentations of the gospel coupled with an intellectual defense of the truth claims of the Christian faith. So for those three reasons, I think that the study of the defense of the faith is a vital part of Christian maturity and Christian discipleship.
I've oftentimes said that the real issue is never evangelism. The real issue is equipping for evangelism. If you're equipped to communicate the gospel, you're going to have the most incredible experience, the power of the Holy Spirit moving through you in the process of changing another life for time and for eternity. Talk about the fruit of becoming an equipped evangelist. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it will make you bolder and more forthright in your sharing Christ. I see this happen on university campuses where I do debates with university professors, and the Christian side usually emerges head and shoulders above the non-Christian position in these debates. And the bracing effect that this has upon Christian students is just tangible. They get so excited to share their faith because they're convinced it's true. They can give good reasons for why they believe what they do. They're proud to be Christians rather than ashamed. And so I think there's few things that can make a person a bolder and more faithful witness for Christ than having good answers to the unbeliever's questions and good reasons for what you believe.
Speaking of your debates, an argument you use in almost all of your debates goes something like this: whatever begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause. How is that argument a powerful counter to the notion of philosophical naturalism?
Well, what it shows is that the natural world is not all there is. The natural world came into being at some point in the finite past, and since something just doesn't come into being from nothing, it shows that there has to be a literally supra-natural, transcendent cause beyond the natural order upon which the natural order depends for its very existence. So this is, I think, a very powerful argument for a supernatural reality and therefore for the falsity of naturalism, which says that nature is all there is.
How significant, Dr. Craig, is the issue of cosmic origins?
Well, I think it's one of the many arguments for the existence of God. I think we're living at a time in history where physical science is more open to the existence of a creator and designer of the universe than at any time in recent memory. And so I think we have very powerful grounds for thinking that the universe is not eternal, that it's not all there is, that it's dependent upon a supernatural cause. And if that's true, that narrows down the field of the world's religions to basically the great monotheistic faiths like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, because it eliminates pantheism, it eliminates naturalism, it eliminates polytheism. Really, this notion that the universe has a transcendent creator and designer narrows the field down to basically these great monotheisms.
In your book, you contend that the moral argument is the most effective of all arguments for the existence of God. Why?
I think the reason is that it really connects with people where they live. You can ignore the evidence for the beginning of the universe and live your life in a normal way if you want to. You can ignore the evidence for design and get by in life. But every day you get up, you answer the question by how you live, whether or not you think other people have objective moral value or are just worthless animated bits of matter to be used for your own purposes. So the moral argument is inescapable because every day by how we live, we answer the question of whether we think there are objective morals and duties. And therefore, we're faced with the question, if there are such things, where do they come from? What's their basis? How do you explain it?
In a chapter that's titled, What About Suffering?, you write this, the health and wealth gospel and the gospel of positive thinking that are being proclaimed in various megachurches and denominations are false gospels that are setting people up for a fall. How so?
Because it leads people to expect that anyone who is really walking with God will lead a life that is free of suffering, that is prosperous and materially happy. And since that is false, people will be devastated when they encounter pointless and seemingly gratuitous suffering in the lives of their themselves, their family, their children. And those people will be racked with doubt and disappointment with God because they're believing in a sort of Santa Claus deity that is not the God of the Bible.
Thank you so much, Bill. The book On Guard, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can order online at equip.org. You can also speak with our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with more.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we're going to go right to our phone callers. Let's go right to John listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, John.
Hank, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. It's good talking to you.
What an honor to speak with you. I've been listening to your program for a long time. I love it.
Thank you.
I just had to make a bit of editorial comment, if I may.
Sure.
I think the word apologetics, I understand the import, is an extremely poor choice for defense of the faith that is so wonderful, so powerful, and absolutely so true. Every time I hear the word apologetics, it sounds like we're apologizing for what we believe.
Well, you make a good point. You know, words take on the barnacles of time, and they become connotative instead of denotative. So I think you make a good point. I mean, we're talking about the defense of the faith, and it's very important that when we mention apologetics, we define what we mean by what we're saying, because denotatively, it comes from the Greek, apologia, and therefore it makes sense, but you're right. To the average ear, it is very connotative today.
It is. It absolutely is. I would love to spend an hour just talking to you on the phone. It would be great. I think, as I've told so many people who don't believe, I just tell them straightforwardly, let me just tell you one thing, sir or ma'am. I can assure you that you absolutely will have the opportunity to explain your beliefs and your position to the Almighty himself face to face. I can assure you that will happen eventually.
Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be condemned. Hey, thanks for your call, John. Back to the phone lines, Israel in El Paso, Texas next. Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Hank? How are you?
Wonderful. I have a question. I was talking to a skeptic friend of mine, and I was trying to explain the resurrection of Jesus Christ, trying to give him some evidence, you know, saying that the disciples died for their faith, you know, and no one would die for a known lie. And he kind of came back at me saying, well, how do you know that they actually died, that they were actually martyred? And I couldn't give him anything besides oral tradition.
Well, it's not just oral tradition. I mean, we have all kinds of written tradition. You look at Josephus or Tacitus. In fact, I was writing a book, and in that book, I talked about Plinius the Younger, who was famous for interrogation, torture, and murder of Christians. And by his own account, in his own hand, he says he extracted information from two church deaconesses, and he used torture to do so. And his manner was simply to ask three times whether you were a follower of Jesus Christ. If the answer was yes, Plinius writes, I order them to be taken away for execution. Whatever they have admitted to, I am sure that their stubbornness and inflexible obstinacy ought to be punished. If a person responded by denying the faith, Plinius had them repeat an invocation to the gods, offer rites, wine and incense before the statue of Trajan, and with utter imprecations to, at the same time, curse the name of Jesus Christ. So he speaks in his own hand about murdering Christians. And you see this in the annals of Tacitus, as I said, Flavius Josephus, who was a Jewish historian writing to please the Romans. We know that Paul was martyred. But more than that, we see complete agreement by all credible thinkers that Nero persecuted Christians, and that during the Neronian persecution, Christians were dipped in tar, lit ablaze. We know that they were torn apart in hippodromes. We also know that such eminent scholars as Dr. Simon Greenleaf, who you might recall was the famous Royale Professor of Law at Harvard, and perhaps the greatest American authority on common law evidence of the 19th century, wrote about the very torture and vilification of Christians, and that in the midst of cruel deaths, they continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Well, that's a lot.
Yeah, there's ample evidence, and it's extra-biblical evidence, not just biblical evidence, that Christians suffered and were martyred for their faith. They were persecuted, and it was the persecuted church who believed in the reality of resurrection that ended up turning an empire upside down, because they knew that though they died, yet they would live.
Right. But we see a lot of persecution nowadays. I guess I see it right over the border in Juarez, Mexico, my friend.
Yeah, you're right. You see it all over the world, and we need to pray for the persecuted church, but even more than that, pray that the persecuted church is praying for us, because I have seen authentic New Testament Christianity in action, and it is a shame to those of us in the West.
Right. Well, we'll keep praying, and we'll keep praying that God touch, you know, all Christians in America and all over the world. God bless you.
Hey, thank you so much for calling, my friend. Andrea next, listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi.
Hi, Hank. I'm a new listener. I am having some really good, deep discussions with a coworker who is not a believer, and our conversations as of late have really started to stump me. Last night I was speaking with her, and we were talking about how, you know, everyone who is born is condemned because of our sin nature, and that we have to choose to believe in Christ and become a part of his family. And she asked me where in the scriptures I could tell her about, you know, at what age or at what time in a person's life they would begin to be held accountable for that choice of choosing Christ or not choosing him.
Yeah, a good question, but I think you have to start with something that precedes that particular issue, and that is the nature of God himself.
Yes.
We know that God wants a relationship with us. If, in fact, he suffered more than any man, more than the cumulative sufferings of humankind, so that he could have a relationship with us for time and for eternity, we can suppose that he's not just going to capriciously say, you as a child didn't have the capacity to choose me, therefore you're out. That's not the point. The point is, those who do not want a relationship with God in this life are not going to be forced into that relationship in eternity. So those who genuinely, on the other hand, want a relationship with Jesus Christ, he is never going to turn away. So that's the premise that comes from the nature of God himself. All who want a relationship will have that relationship, and we can extend that to people even prior to what we would call an age of accountability. We find in Matthew 18 that Jesus pointed to children as examples of those who will, according to Jesus Christ, inherit the kingdom of heaven. And we see in 2 Samuel the poignant story of David, who expresses belief that one day he's going to be with his child who had died. And those passages demonstrate the nature of God with respect to children. He loves children, and he would never drive them away. He didn't do it during his earthly sojourn, so there's no possibility that he's going to do it in eternity.
Okay. And I'm assuming that, you know, goes along with someone who would have a mental handicap as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also have to recognize this, that we are called into account for the light that we had. There is light that we have, according to the Apostle Paul, that comes from creation. There is light, according to the Apostle Paul, in the second chapter of Romans, that comes from conscience. And there's the evidence that if we respond to the light we have, God will give us more light. And Paul argues this, actually, at the Areopagus. He says, from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that we might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So the real issue is this. Light came into darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If we respond to the light, God's going to give us more light and certainly will not reject us on capricious grounds. We can know that of a certainty based on the nature of God. We have this situation. We lost a child, baby Grace, and we have no doubt whatsoever that that child will be running into our arms in eternity based on the very nature of God.
Well, I really appreciate it. When she asked me this yesterday, I told her, I said, well, I'm going to try to talk to Hank, and she had never heard of you. So I gave her the radio station call letters, and she may be listening now. So I'm anxious to share what you said with her.
Well, thank you so much for calling. Hope to have further contact with you in the future. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Hank. Bye-bye.
I did a message on what I consider one of the most significant issues ever, and that is the authority of Scripture. What is your authority? Is it the Quran? Is it the Book of Mormon? Is it some other religious book? What is your authority? We say the Bible is our authority, and we say that because we believe that God has spoken, that these are love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. And we can demonstrate that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. So that's not just an odd predilection on our part, it's faith in fact. Has God Spoken is a CD available for your gift. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Out of time, see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.